the Ravens, they're always trying to get the ball to the one guy. And if that one guy, like when Deebo Samuel got hurt against the 49ers, they have other guys who are really good. But you can tell for a while they were a little floundery out there without Deebo, right?
Well, Patrick Mike Evans, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you just watch the Bucks-Lions. I mean, now there for a while, the Bucks refused to block Aiden Hutchinson and the Lions refused to cover Evans. So I wasn't sure what was going on there. But,
missteps, yeah.
When you're going to pepper the one guy, I mean, the defenses know that, and that all sounds great because the guy's getting yards and he's getting big plays. But defenses will step in and take a pick away or two, and if they do shut down that guy, or worse, he pulls a hamstring, okay, now what?
Yeah, and we saw that this weekend, right?
Yep.
I mean, and we see that over and over in the league, but with the Green Bay Packers, they have won games with Bo Melton getting over 100 yards. Bo Melton, who would have ever thought that that was a name we'd be excited about, right? And that's kind of my point, because there is so much talent on this team that when you're looking at who's going to be just the healthy scratch, and you feel bad because it's Malik Heath, who's also been very good, you've got a whole lot of talent. And if you continue to use the guys the way you did this year, I mean, there's really, I don't think, any stopping this team as long as they can stay healthy, you know, for the most part, and keep the O-line intact. And
well, I'm with you. Receiver to me is down on the list of needs. And I know people want to use the Madden, let's pencil in a WR1, a WR2. The receiver one next year, first game, is going to be whoever they scheme up that they think is going to torch the opponent. And they'll take the pecking order, but if it's not that guy or even the second guy, 3 and 4 and 5 will be more than happy to step up. And the tight ends in the mix, because we're just seeing the infancy of what they can do with Kraft and Musgrave. This is just the beginning.
As soon as Musgrave learns to stay on his feet most of the time, I think it's all over. I think it's all over. You know, and one of the things that I appreciate listening to this team after the game was, even at their lockers, even when Jordan Love spoke, I mean, they're already talking about how they're going to get together in this offseason, how they want to be better. They want to go further than what they went. This was just a taste for them, and they are hungry, and they are.
How many are going to show up for practice Monday? Today, I mean, there were some guys that they did not look like a team that was gassed.
No, they did not. They look like they're ready to go. Jordan Love talking about how last year, to get all the receivers on the same page, he had them in California. He's already planning that. He's already got dates in mind when all of them are going to be congregated in California working with him in between training camps and things like that. The ceiling for this team is really, really high. And even with Jordan Love's mistakes, I mean, it was pretty obvious he was still a young player in his first year with the mistakes he made throughout the season and in the 49ers game. And I would have been shocked had he played a mistake-free game against the 49ers, really, because they are the 49ers, and that defense is good. But I feel like the ceiling is high, and I feel like we just scraped like a little of the surface this offseason or this season. And I feel like, you know, the first thing you said is, no, I'm going to get better at the 2-minute drill. I'm going to show you next year. I'm going to have this down. I was like, you know what? And I truly believe that coming from him. You know, maybe I have no reason to believe it, but I do, just based on the things that we've seen him work on and progress at throughout the season. And when he would get to the podium and be like, no, I know I need to be better in that situation, the next week they'd pull it out. And he always was better in that situation.
He was.
There's and, not a you know, doubt in my mind.
No, and the funny thing, too, you're training an NFL quarterback to be elite like Jordan Love. You don't start with the 2-minute drill first day. Right. You know, let's perfect this. Right. And that. They got to teach a guy how to play the game, and they have, and he does, and it's a wonderful thing. It really is.
Right, and I think one of the things that's being overlooked right now, too, and I really hope, and I know with his age it might not happen, but I really, really hope Tom Clements comes back another year. I really, really do. I don't know if he was always the right guy for Rodgers, especially later in his career. I know he was early on with Favre as well. I'm not sure he was the right guy for Rodgers, especially last year, and I don't know if anybody was the right guy for Rodgers last year. His mind was made up on what was happening with the Green Bay Packers, and you weren't going to sway him in any way, shape, or form.
Nah, he had checked out.
He had, but I really, really hope that Tom Clements is back for at least another season with Jordan Love, because I know coming out of the draft, one of the knocks on Love was his inconsistency. And I think part of that, and I think you would agree with this, was the fact that he had different offensive coordinators the entire time he started in college. Both years he started, he had different offenses he had to learn. And I know you're not going to be learning a different offense, but each quarterback's coach has their different mechanics that they work on, different things. And I think by keeping Clemens in there one more year, you keep that level of comfort for Jordan Love while he's still trying to explore his ceiling. And I think Clemens allows him to do that. He did it for Favre. He did it for Rodgers early on. And I think if you can talk him into staying one more year, maybe he's sold. Maybe he loves Jordan Love so much, he's like, yes, I'm in one more year. I don't know. We'll find those things out as we go the next few weeks. But I hope he's a guy that sticks around one more year.
Now, I haven't seen any news on Luke Getsy, who's a guy I'd be interested in bringing back in a certain role if he doesn't get hired by anyone else. Because I have to say, the Bears' offense, in spite of Justin Fields, did some really good things this year.
I think so, too.
Now, I know he wants to be a play caller and eventually head coach, too. They all do. But maybe if you bring Getsy back to Green Bay and let him, whatever the role,
sure.
I mean, because Vrabel's got the receivers covered, and I think he's not, I don't know how long he's going to be here, the other Vrabel, Jason, but it'll be interesting. There's some options out there. I don't disagree with you on Clemens. I think it's up to him. If he wants to come back, fine. If he doesn't, I think LaFleur and Love have such a great chemistry that they'll be okay either way. And Love, I think, is far enough along where the training wheels are off and you push them down the road and say, have fun at school.
it's pretty awesome to see what they've done this year. And like I said, the loss was, I mean, it always stings. It always sucks. You don't want to see them be done. You know, especially they were living out like this basically Hollywood written version of what their season should be like. And then to have it come to an end brutally, it sucked. So here's my question for you, though. What are some of the biggest things you think happen in this offseason? I know that's pretty vague, but David Bakhtiari, we kind of talked about the O-line. I know Rodgers has already told people that he'd love to get a guy like Devontae back in New York, or he'd love to get a David Bakhtiari for that O-line. Do the Packers get rid of Bakhtiari, or do you think they keep him and Rashid Walker becomes a rotational guy? What do you think happens with Bach? Because he's like the omnipresent like being, you know, that nobody really knows what's going to happen with him. And obviously, with that surgery this year.
My best guess on David Bakhtiari is, and I love the guy, man, I think he, through all the Rodgers stuff, his loyalty to Rodgers was understood. And I think he, you know, he handled his business. I think he's done. I think he should retire. I just think, how many times can you try to come back and suffer through all the rehab and all the pain and the draining of the fluid and everything else? I just think, you know, financially, family, his mind is right. Heck of a guy. I don't know that he needs it. Now, if he wants to go to New York with Rodgers to live out some kind of fantasy, and, you know, that's fine. That'd be okay with me. I'm telling you, I would draft a stud left tackle.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You know, 25th pick or whatever they have, get your best tackle there and go, but that's just me.
And you know, and I hate to talk about it in number terms, because I think I'm agreeing with you. I think David Bakhtiari should retire. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got a gorgeous little girl. Go live your life. Like, be healthy for her, you know, be able to move around with her because she's just little. I agree. But whatever he does is up to him. They also free up a lot of cap space by getting rid of
David Bakhtiari.
They do,
and I think that's part of Keyshawn Nixon. I think he talked about his affection, and this is what I love to hear when, you know, we hear about all the culture and maybe the atmosphere at 12. Come on. Now, Nixon's talking about, this organization gave me everything that they could, and in return, I gave them everything back that I could.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a guy that wants to leave? I mean, Keyshawn Nixon is a somebody in the NFL because of the Packers and Rich Bisaccia.
Yeah. Agreed. And they still need him on kick returns, as we've seen this year.
73 yarders, second longest in history postseason. Obviously Desmond Howard.
By the way, when he had that run and then he fumbled it and then they recovered it, that was like a microcosm of their entire season in like 12 seconds. Like, it literally was. It was everything that they had gone through. And I mean, it was obviously jubilation to pure panic to, oh my gosh, they recovered it. Look at the position. It was their microcosm of their season in that run.
You know, in that diving slide and recovery, at first I half expected Willie Adames to come up throwing.
Right? I know. It was
that was as clean a snag as you could have. I mean, he was the only guy, and he was the only shot the Packers had. There are no green and white or gold anywhere in the area.
No.
Yeah, Eric Wilson's another guy you keep. He's a special teams leader. I mean, they have so many guys that in those secondary roles that played really well, too.
You're going to get back perhaps Tyler Davis if they decide to keep him around, which Bisaccia talked about early in the season. Who thought that he'd be so important to special teams? But he obviously was, you know.
I lost my right hand, Bisaccia said, when Davis went down.
I mean, it was kind of crazy. So you're going to get him back from injury, and I believe he still is under contract with him, isn't he?
He's a free agent, I think, going into this offseason now. But that's okay because, you know, they can hammer that part out. He's not going to get a load of money anymore.
No. No, he's not. So there's guys like that, you know. A guy like Rasul Douglas, I don't know if he should be your starting safety back there, but he certainly is good on special teams. That's something else that, you know, you're going to look at with some of these guys. So my other thing would be Rich Bisaccia. Now, Max and I had a conversation about this weekend because I said, what's up with the Packers special teams? I said, they have the highest paid special teams coordinator in the league. I said, he took them from like 29th to 27th and back down to like 29th. And he goes, well, Anders Carlson didn't obviously help the numbers for the special teams this year. But we talked about that. There'll be competition at the kicking position. But he said, he goes, the thing that I don't understand about the Packers special team is, he said, a lot of these other teams who have really great special teams, the Ravens, the 49ers, because obviously they're still in the mix. He's like, even when you look at the Lions, he goes, if it's a down and dirty play, and he's like, you absolutely have to get the stop immediately. You can't let them get any yards whatsoever. You want them beyond even the 25, back into their own end zone. He said, they play their starters sometimes. He said, in a lot of the times, on their defense especially. He's like, Packers don't do that. He's like, everybody on special teams is pretty much a rotational guy or a second or third stringer or a rookie just getting their feet wet. And he's like, that's why I think sometimes you see the discrepancy between what the Green Bay Packers special teams looks like and some of these special teams that are high ranked in the league. He's like, they're not putting the emphasis on it. And he's like, I still think Rich Bisaccia is the right guy for the job. He's like, unless Matt LaFleur decides differently. But he's like, I just feel like they don't put enough emphasis on what special teams is. Like, okay, kick the ball, fair catch it, whatever, just get the stop and let's move on. But he said, you've got guys that are pretty green out there sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, special teams for the Packers is more of an emphasis. Oh, that's emphasis? No.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
And he said, to the point about using starters, see, there are moments when it's called for.
Yes.
Like playoffs would be the time to do it. A game in the season that you absolutely have to have, you might want to sprinkle some in. But I've said it a million times, and you've heard it probably more than you care to. Teams that generally have really stud defenses have the teams to go with it. It just seems like great defense and special teams go hand in hand, and it's been that way for a long time. The Packers, obviously, defensively where they are, and teams, you could make an argument for that.
I mean, I would just love to see them. Here's the thing, too, and I don't want to pick on Joe Barry too much because, again, I give him credit for what he was able to do for most of that game on Saturday night. But here's what I would love to see. I mean, through the Rodgers years, they had Dom Capers mostly, right? And, I mean, other than that Super Bowl year, that defense was pretty abysmal for most of it, right? They just
weren't
great. And then they go and they get Pettine, and they bring Pettine in during Mike McCarthy's last year. LaFleur felt like kind of was roped into keeping him, gets rid of him instantly to bring in his guy. And by the way, Pettine's numbers on defense were much better than Joe Barry's, just in case anybody wants to go apples to apples on that one. And then they bring in Joe Barry. So it feels like they've always got, I mean, and I get it, offense, and it's important to the Green Bay Packers. It's what they're built on. But, like, get a complimentary defense at some point. Like, somebody who can actually stop something when you need them to, so your high-octane offense that you just built from scratch can actually get out onto the field again. You know? I don't understand it.
You got to have complimentary football if you're going to win a Super Bowl anyway. There are very few, I don't know of any Super Bowl teams that aren't at least really good on one side and then excellent on the other. You know, it's tough to overcome that game after game with having a poor defense. They need to hire a coordinator, and I think Joe Barry will be gone. If I'm LaFleur, I don't wait. I mean, I move on from Joe Barry, and then I wait and see what shakes out for the hire. I would cut that tie right away. It's part of the end of the season dismissal process.
If he's going to make that decision, it would be, I would expect it this week. Expect it this week if he's going to make that decision. My biggest fear is that Matt LaFleur is going to get up to the podium like he did last year and be like, nope, we're keeping everybody in place. Oh, neat.
Yeah, that won't happen. That shouldn't happen. And I might make an argument, you know, Rich Bisaccia, Anders Carlson, that was his guy. So Carlson, good or bad, that was on Bisaccia too. But I didn't think this was possible. But I had people, you may have mentioned, Max may have, that part of it is because you think this season isn't going to end the way it did going in. So you're going to live with the rookie kicker, develop him as part of your total overall program growth.
Right, we talked about that,
And remember, but doggone if it didn't bite you in the end anyway. And it may have cost you an opportunity for a better seed undoubtedly. Yeah, you know.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree, because there were a few games that if he would have just had a better kick, they would have even won by one, or they've at least had the chance to tie it, you know. So,
or at least going to overtime Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is what it is, but I definitely think, you know, and it's funny because who did I just see? One of the teams who got eliminated, the Buccaneers, both their long snapper and their kicker are free agents this year. So there's going to be options whether you want to draft one or go out and get somebody with experience.
McLaughlin's wonderful. I mean, geez, he's 39 out of 41 or whatever on a year. Geez, 94%.
Free agent people, watch that David Bakhtiari contract. They got some cash they got to free up in order to make moves like that. But, you know, I think those are things that you're going to maybe see. And Goody knows what he has in his roster now. I mean, that's the other thing, too.
It is beautiful. Yep.
Goody knows exactly what he has in his roster. And you think Goody's just going to sit by this year and this offseason and let it be another rebuilding year? No. No. He knows exactly what they're capable of now. And so I would be shocked if he doesn't go out and get him the pieces that we're talking about and make the moves that we're talking about, because now he knows where their weaknesses are and what they actually need to go toe to toe, which they already did with the 49ers, but come out with a win. He knows
for
now
sure.
Exactly.
And you talk about a receiver. I mean, I'm sure they can project some of the current guys as a number one. We talked about that before, but he can really focus. Goody can really hone in on a couple of positions now. Yeah. Where, I mean, they always do the due diligence in their scouting department. I have no gripes with them. I mean, the last couple of drafts, my goodness. But I'm with you on it. I mean, inside linebacker, you know, you can name the positions, especially that they – and they might add a veteran. You never know, you know. They could,
you know,
in
like
free agency, but
– like a guy who isn't going to command much. He's probably not going to be an Anton Winfield Jr. because they can't afford that. It's like safety, because he's a free agent this year as well.
Although he can't tackle Gibbs in the open field either,
right?
No, I'm kidding.
No. Well, nobody can. That was pretty apparent. Remember when everybody made fun of the Lions for taking a running back at 12? I was kind of like, I kind of wish the Packers had taken a running back at 12.
Yeah.
Although Aaron Jones has been amazing these last few games. I don't see
they broke the 50-game streak, Maddie.
I know.
50 straight games, Niners defense had not given up a 100-yard rusher, which... think about that if you're a Packer fan and what you see from Joe Barry. He'll double dip in one game. 200.
Right. No, I totally agree. And I don't see A.J. Dillon coming back.
I don't either.
Maybe, but I see them drafting somebody. Emmanuel Wilson, the more reps he got towards the end of the season, the better he looked. And I think he was probably drafted to be a counterpunch to Aaron Jones, at least for a while. I think that shoulder injury and being a rookie really hurt his time playing and how good he may have been. So I'm kind of excited for that as well.
He made a couple big plays down a stretch in the fourth quarter. Picked up a couple of first downs.
So I'm excited. I mean, I know it sucks, and you want to cheer them on. And the worst thing that would happen is if the Niners can't beat the Lions, and then we have to hear about the Lions going to the Super Bowl if you're an NFC North fan. But, however, here's my thing. I mean, be excited. And honestly, when you look at the state of the other teams in the NFC North, that's something Max and I talked about this weekend. Vikings, they don't know what's going to happen at quarterback. Kirk Cousins would love to explore maybe some other options. I mean, you never know. So that's going to be interesting to see. And then you've got the Bears, who it seems like they're hanging their hat on Justin Fields, at least for another year, are going to get a rookie to sit behind him at least for a year. So that's interesting. I still think out of both of them, another year, Jordan Love is the better quarterback out of Goff, although Goff has been great in that offense, but they're going to probably lose Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn to different positions. So that's going to be something to watch as well.
Yeah, the price of success for the Lions, right? Jeez, they barely... get in among the elite, and they're picking us apart right away. But that's good, and I'll take Love over Goff 1,000 times every day.
Yeah, you know, and Ben Johnson was a hot candidate last year, and he chose to ride it out with the Lions one more year because he felt like they could be really successful. And I think they lose their offensive coordinator in the offseason as well. I mean, he's good, and I definitely don't deny that. But I think when you look at the state of where the other three teams in the North are versus where the Packers are, barring any injuries, they're pretty set right now, other than get a Goody drafting some really top talent at some of the key positions. So it's fun.
It will be one of the best divisions, I think, in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree.
It'll be one of the top two or three anyway.
And here's the thing, Packers fans, we go into the off season for the first time in 3 years knowing who the QB is going to be.
What are we going to do without all the drama, Maddie?
There's no debate about if he's going to show up at camp, if he's going to be a Packer, if he's not going to show up. Not all the cameras need to be at Lambeau on the very first day of camp, because something tells me Jordan Love is just going to willingly show up without any drama associated with it. So that's fun. You know who the wide receivers are. You know who your tight ends are. I mean, I don't see Matt LaFleur's staff getting poached too badly this season. I think maybe if they have success next year, you see a lot of turnover in his staff, but not this year. I think a lot of them are back, minus Joe Barry, of course. But I think if you're a Packers fan, there's a lot to look forward to in the offseason and for the upcoming year.
The GM, the coach, the quarterback, I couldn't be any happier with those three, key guys out there in that what they're trying to do, because if you got the GM and the coach on the same page, and then you got the coach and the quarterback on the same page, and you find a D coordinator, this could be something pretty special here.
You know,
other teams know it too, I think. They sense it.
They feel it. I think the other defensive play, I mean, players who play defense, they don't have to go out of their way to praise Jordan Love. They don't have to say anything. They can be like, yeah, you can tell he's that behind Rodgers and move on. They go out of their way to talk about how good he's been and how great he has played and how they can really tell that he is putting in the time, the effort, and the work. And they talk about how good these young receivers are. They don't have to go out of their way to say those things at all. But they are. And that tells you right then and there that they have the attention of the rest of the league as well, because how many people thought that they would be facing the 49ers in the divisional round? Nobody.
And then giving them a game, and then actually could have won. I mean, had it been 31-10, boy, oh boy, you know, there'd be the temptation to do a lot of soul searching and reconsidering. Yes, and going, well, boy, maybe we were further away than we thought. When in fact, it could have just been a really bad afternoon and a bad combination and matchup. Where the Packers, they went toe to toe and take out all the other mitigating circumstances, including the rain. I mean, they were right there. I'm not sure if a faster track would have helped or hurt the Packers.
I like the track they're on. I think this year was just the right track. I think it would have been more disappointing to get to the championship game, and then you get that feeling. Sometimes those teams get really let down when they don't go on and win. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you see that as a hangover into the next season. But I think making it to the middle round for this young team, I think it made them hungrier, because now they've gotten a taste of it and they know what it feels like. And the vets who have been on this team that you know are going to be there next year, they've gotten back to the playoffs. They know what that feeling is like again. And everybody's got Jordan Love's back. That's the thing that I think is beautiful about it too, is nobody at the end of that game was throwing anybody under the bus. And that was one thing that, you know, and I don't want to pick on Rodgers too much, but one of the things that always used to bother me at the end of a game is when he'd get to the podium and he'd make a throw just like we saw Jordan Love. It would always be the receiver wasn't in the right spot. The line let him have too much pressure. He didn't really like the play call, wasn't comfortable with it. Jordan Love gets to the podium and was like, no, it was a Cardinal quarterback sin. Like, I did it. I screwed it up. I shouldn't have made it. He took full responsibility for it. And I appreciated that more than some stupid excuse as to why it happened. It happened. You did it. It sucked. It was stupid. You shouldn't have done it. And there was always excuses. There wasn't with Jordan Love.
No blame placing either. You know, it was on him.
He totally took the responsibility, and that's what I appreciate about him as well right now. It's just a breath of fresh air right now. It's just different. It's a different atmosphere. It's a different vibe, and I think everybody's starting to feel it, from the coaches to the GM to the players to the fans to even the people who cover the team. And we're talking about media all in general. I think it's just a different vibe. So I think it's fun though, and it's going to be a good off season. Unfortunately though, with the off season means that you and I won't talk again for quite some time, at least on the air.
Right. I know that's always the downer to the double whammy.
Right.
I look forward to this. We had a great run, Maddie, this year. It was really a lot of fun. And I love our listeners sticking with us and sticking with the Packers, because it shows they're true fans, and obviously they enjoy listening to us recap and look ahead to. But the fact that they got to really intimately watch this team grow together, I think that helps. You know, the Packers fans are all invested anyway, but. Yeah. Really, I mean, more on an intimate, knowing these players, getting to know them, excited. Because here's the thing, you bring in a high-priced free agent.
Yep.
If he meets all your expectations, okay, that's wonderful, you expected that, and you move on. If he doesn't, oh gosh, what a disaster. Yeah. You know, where in this case, you see these young guys growing and growing together, and everyone running hard routes for the other receiver to get them open, and all of that kind of going on. You know, what they have going on in the building is plenty. You don't have to go from outside to try to make this thing better or prettier or fool fans or whatever, because Love's the real deal, and they're a force to be reckoned with going forward. Carl Brooks should have played more Saturday night, but
I totally agree. But see, someday they'll have a defensive coordinator who recognizes that.
That's right. That's right.
At least that's my hope. Anyway, We'll manifest it for the team. Thank you so much for another amazing season. We appreciate it. I do want to thank Tricor Insurance, and even though they're closed this time of the year, Oakwood Fruit Farm, who starts out as one of our sponsors for Hanging with Hovel. You have an amazing offseason. Enjoy the rest of the football season. I think it's going to be the 49ers and the Ravens in the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be too.
And Maddie, if you're ever feeling a little, you know, want a little Hanging with Hovel, just call me up and we'll get on for 10, 20, 30, whatever you want to do, and talk about football, okay?
Sounds good. All right. You have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Maddie. Appreciate you.
Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, hanging with Hovel here on Max FM, brought to you by Tricor Insurance.
Your experience is our top priority at Backroad Baraboo Motors, where you'll find a top-notch crew that gets the job done right, thorough advisors that explain it all, a free car wash with every visit, and a waiting room where you won't mind the wait. From routine service to major repairs, our certified team is here for you. Backroad Baraboo Motors, proudly servicing all makes and models, just off Highway 136 in Baraboo and online at baraboomotors.com.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
You, baby, and I've got no
Maximum Hits, 99.7 Max FM. Another great year of hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Thank you so much to Chris Hovel for doing that show with us. And hopefully we'll have Chris back again next year. I'm Maddie Jones. Here is Talking Heads burning down the house on 99.7 Max FM.
And more. That's the power of love. 99.7 Max FM.
Making a scene, oh girl, you've got to know what my head over.
Maximum Hits, 99.7 Max FM. Janet Jackson currently on that Together Again tour. She just announced 35 new summer dates, including one in Minneapolis and one in Chicago, just in case you'd love to see her. She puts on a great show. Nelly opening up that one for her. Here she is now. What have you done for me lately on Max FM?
Ooh.
Don't You Want Me? There is Human League. Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We always appreciate it. Hopefully your Monday's treating you well. Little easier said than done, because let's face it, we all know how Mondays can be. Now, over the last few weeks, self-checkouts have really gotten a bad rap. There's a lot of stores even reducing the amount of automatic or self-checkouts in their stores because people have complained about them. And it turns out that those automatic checkouts could actually decrease customer loyalty as well, at least according to a new study. This is especially true if a customer is scanning 15 items or more. The simplicity of the checkout process and the feeling of managing on their own could be contributing factors. Now, researchers say that those self-checkout systems, despite their advantages in terms of speed, ease of use, and cost reduction, can actually result in lower customer loyalty compared to regular checkout systems, proving we still like a little human interaction once in a while. To counteract this effect, researchers also suggest that retailers could make the self-checkout experience more rewarding. Now, I'm not exactly sure how you do that. If somebody starts talking to me while I'm self-checking, I'm out. I don't want that. I want to get in. I want to get out. I want to bag my groceries the way I want, because it's kind of a precise process, makes putting them away a whole lot easier. I just love a good self-checkout. Now, I will say this. I am loyal to all the stores around here because each of them has something that I really, really like, really, really need, or that we eat a whole lot that maybe isn't as good at another store, depending on brands and all of that good stuff. It's a precise science. If you do the grocery shopping in your household, you'll know this. There's a science to good grocery shopping, right? And unfortunately, I just really hate to do it. It's also why I love the fact that I can order my groceries online, don't have to do the self-checkout, somebody else does it all for me. That's a really big bonus too. Coming up, a detailed look at your forecast. Really a mixed bag over the next couple of days. We could see some light rain, some snow, some freezing drizzle. We'll tell you more about it next here on Max FM.
The new Legacy Dinner Theater in Wisconsin Dells is proud to present the Winter Concert Series. With over 20 tribute concerts in January, February, and March, it may be cold outside, but at the Legacy Dinner Theater, things will heat up on Friday, January 26th, when Jimmy Holmes takes the stage with his tribute to Elvis. Jimmy has won numerous awards, including the 2023 Images of the King World Championship. Then, on Saturday, January 27th, straight from the Twin Cities, it's Chase and Ovation, who have been presenting the ultimate tribute to the music of Prince for over 17 years. And coming to the Legacy Dinner Theater in Wisconsin Dells in February, their tributes to the best in yacht rock: Jimmy Buffett, Dolly Parton, Tom Petty, Buddy Holly, Boston, Styx, and more. But hurry, tickets are going fast. For the complete listing of over 20 tribute concerts coming to Wisconsin Dells in January, February, and March, check out the Winter Concert Series at LegacyDinnerTheater.com. That's LegacyDinnerTheater.com.
Cell Plus invites you to catch the sunrise on Max FM. 4 hours of positive, uplifting music every Sunday morning from 5 to 9. Brought to you exclusively by your local U.S. Cellular agent. Cell Plus in Baraboo, Reedsburg, and Wisconsin Dells.
Positive music on sunrise.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE, 855-51-BIBLE.
Max FM weather sponsored by Davis Home Furnishings and Flooring of Reedsburg. Stop in for all your furniture, flooring, and blind needs. See us at 2543 East Main Street in Reedsburg.
Max FM, Gem City Weather. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Welcome to the wild warm-up. With winds whipping out of the south up to 30 miles per hour, it'll soar our temperatures into the low 30s today. Stuck under mostly cloudy skies, a wintry mix moves in overnight. We'll be waking up to slick and slippery roads with some ice accumulations and some snow. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 26 degrees. 99.7
hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Just getting started with another 50-minute music hour. Great music to take you through your Monday. And trust me, on a Monday, we need all the help we can get, right? You two coming up next hour, along with the Black Eyed Peas, Pat Benatar as well. Finn's also in to take you through your midday right here on Max FM. It's Ace of Base now with The Sign. Have a wonderful Monday. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. We'll be right back.
90s, and more.
Right on!
Are you going to hear what I want when I want?
99.7. Max FM.
Ein Punker unterliegt in der großen Stadt. Es war in Viva Vienna, wo er alles tat. Er hatte Schulden, der Natur, doch ihn liebten alle Frauen. Und jede rief, na kann man Rock Me Amadeus. Er war Superstar, er war populär. Er war so exaltiert, because er hatte Flair. Er war ein Virtuose, war ein Rockidol. Und alles rief, na kann man Rock Me Amadeus. Und es war irgendwie no plastic money in den Modebanken gegen ihn. Woher die Schulden kamen, war wohl jedermann bekannt. Er war ein Mann der Frauen, Frauen liebten seinen Punk. Er war ein Superstar, er war so populär. Er war zu exaltiert, genau das war sein Flair. Er war ein Virtuose, war ein Rocky-Doll. Und alles ruft noch auf den Captain Rock Me Up My Day.